First, Jessica Stern. She's one of the world's foremost experts on terrorism. She's interviewed and profiled the world's most dangerous people, often putting herself in harm's way. But as she approached her 50th birthday, Jessica Stern started to question her intense and dangerous work. Her questions led her back to October 1st, 1973, when Jessica, age 15, and her sister, age 14, were brutally raped by an intruder. The rapist was never caught. Years later, when the police reopened the case, Jessica Stern came face to face with her past. She writes about the experience in her book Denial, a memoir of terror. And Strange Champs asked her why she went back to investigate her own rape.
Well, a couple things. One was I had been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, and though I didn't believe the diagnosis, I became curious about what had happened to me. And another thing that happened is that I was writing my third book on terrorism, and I included a little vignette about what it feels like to be terrorized. And my editor, as is his wont, told me to throw out the book that I had been writing and suggested that I write a book on the topic of my rape because he found that more interesting than yet another book on terrorism. And I was so offended that I didn't even bother responding for 6 months. But I also, when the police decided to reopen the case and discovered that it was a serial rapist of children, I got pulled in. I got pulled into the investigation, but I also got pulled in intellectually and emotionally into the story. And I just sort of fell into writing a book about it.
Have you, sounds like an odd question, but have you always known you were raped, or have there been times in your life when you've sort of forgotten?
I've always known I was raped, but I would say most of my life I more or less forgot about it. I put it way in the back of my mind. It wasn't something that I felt affected me in any way. And now, in retrospect, I realized that it affected almost everything, but especially my career choice. But even though it's pretty obvious to anyone who looks from the outside, to me, I was sort of the last person to know that the experience of being terrorized, raped at gunpoint, would definitely have an influence on a person's life, and also a rather surprising career choice that I made.
So you never really connected the dots and realized that the fact that you'd become an expert on international terrorism might have something to do with having been terrorized?
I never connected the dots. And it isn't just that I became an expert on international terrorism. I did something rather bizarre for an academic. I went around and I sought out the terrorists. I looked them in the eye. I interviewed them. And that's something that's really frowned on in academia. It's considered journalistic, which I'm sure you realize is not a compliment. Just as I'm sure if you tell your colleagues they sound like an academic, you mean they are boring and hiding the argument. So the feeling is mutual. But I didn't care. I just did it anyway.
Why?
Well, I think now I understand that I was, in a way, training myself to interview my own rapist. I was trying to exorcise something by understanding it intellectually. I was trying to understand how a person overcomes everything they've been taught about what it means to be civilized and does something that most of us would consider to be truly evil. And in the case of terrorists, it's killing non-combatants with a political agenda. In the case of a rapist, there's no political agenda, but the one thing they have in common is that they are violating normal moral rules and harming someone up close often.
Can you take us back some and tell us what actually happened the night you and your sister were raped?
Yes, we were in our former stepmother's house in a very, very safe town, Concord, Massachusetts, where everyone kept their doors unlocked. And a man came in the house with a gun, and both my sister and I thought it had to be a joke. It was completely beyond our wildest imagination that someone would actually come in the house with a gun and mean to harm us. And he spent about an hour telling us exactly what we needed to do or he would kill us. And he would say, you know, over and over again, he told us, you know, you'll put on this clothing, you'll brush each other's hair, you'll go upstairs, you must do this, I have a gun to your back. And then he raped us. And then when he was done, he cocked the gun and we thought he was going to kill us. And then he told us that it was a cap gun.
How old were you?
15. My sister was 14. A number of the victims were 13. They were all between the ages of 9 and 19.
So one of the things that becomes clear through the course of your story is that suffering any kind of trauma has these profound, lasting psychological effects. You become, oh, it's like becoming colorblind in certain ways. There are things that you don't see. You also learn to kind of numb yourself out. So I guess that's part of what happened to you, that you learned to suppress a lot of feelings.
I did, and I thought it was an advantage, and I wanted to learn how to suppress feelings more. It seemed to me that feelings got in the way of work, and I only cared really about my work. Once I had a child, that protective mechanism, which really did make it possible for me to do the work I did, began to have high costs. And it was worth it to me to get treated for post-traumatic stress disorder. Those are symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, this numbing, alternating between being completely numb, not noticing things, not feeling things, and at other times being hyper-vigilant, hyper-aware of one's surroundings.
We've talked about how having been terrorized as a young girl, you wound up gravitating toward the subject of terror and terrorists professionally. You also found, I guess ironically, that some of those psychological after effects of the rape turned out to be assets in your work.
Definitely. I think we can use symptoms creatively to do good work. And the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder often get in the way of intimate relationships, but they can be very useful for high-risk work. And since I've written the book, I've received so many letters from people, some women who were victims of the same rapist, some men and women who were raped in childhood, but some who are also explaining to me, I read this book, I realize I have post-traumatic stress disorder, I have those symptoms that you're describing, and I've been using them in my work.
So, for instance, how did you use some of those symptoms in your work?
I didn't feel fear. I didn't process fear as fear. I would sometimes, in fact, still feel quite agitated when I'm exposed to certain sounds that are normal, or I don't like spending time in shopping malls with buzzing fluorescent lights or a lot of ersatz scents. I'm almost phobic of that kind of environment. But sitting down and talking to killers in Pakistan, even terrorists I knew had targeted American civilians, I didn't understand that the kind of agitation I experienced in my body was fear. I experienced myself as being hyper aware and also extremely calm. Mm. So I was able to do this work that, you know, in retrospect was really dangerous.
Mm. Earlier you said that you thought that you were kind of, through all the interviews of terrorists you had done, you were kind of working your way toward wanting to interview your rapist, that was the kind of hidden motivation behind your choice of work. You weren't ever able to do that. He's dead, it turns out. Would you, if he were alive, want to interview him?
Absolutely. I had a fantasy that if I were able to look him in the eye and if he looked in my eye, that he would just explode, that he wouldn't be able to bear recognizing that I was a human being rather than just an object. That was my fantasy. I also wanted intellectually to understand what led him to do what he did. And though I wasn't able to talk to him about it, I did interview everyone I could find who knew him. And I believe that he was abused by one or more priests. That's not an excuse in any way for what he did. Almost every perpetrator has been a victim. Most victims do not become perpetrators. It's not an excuse, but it does help me to understand how he became capable of such monstrous crimes.
Jessica Stern is the author of Denial, a memoir of terror. And Strange Champ spoke with her.